We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy, Paul Adam T.
What's up, Nate?
Nate Robinson is coming into the building, man.
Oh, we got Nate the Great coming in today, huh?
Man, I'm loving this, man. I'm excited about this. He has a fight coming up. I think, like I said, what we're going to hear from this day is going to be nothing short of spectacular. No pun intended. Short of spectacular. this is a 5'9 guy that played, 11 to 12 years in the NBA. For me, like I said, when you talk about pound for pound, obviously what one player automatically comes to mind, and that's Allen Iverson. But when you think of somebody like Nate Robinson, I mean, his body of work speaks for itself. Three-time NBA dunk champion. This guy can play above the rim. I was hoping he had a shot at playing in the league, in the NFL. Again. I'm looking forward to listen to this guy talk today.
Absolutely. He was a first round pick of the New York Knicks in 2005, played there for 5 years. Then he went to the Boston Celtics, short stint with the Oklahoma City Thunder, then went to the Warriors, Bulls, Nuggets, and Clippers. And then he ended up in the Pelicans. He's been playing overseas the last couple of years. And you know what's funny? He might be playing against you one day or your teammate one day in the big three. We don't even know, right? That's possible. Right. You know what I'm saying? 2021 is coming around. Big three coming around, like Ice Cube said, we had on the show a couple weeks ago. So you never know. You guys might be teammates. So you got Nate the Great Robinson coming up on Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast.
No doubt. And if you want to see the video version of this, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Terrell. Owens.
Nate the Great Robinson coming up on Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host Hatch with my boy.
Yep. You know who it is. This is T.O. We in the building.
In the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we got one of, like, you talking about pound for pound. And I know
pound for pound.
We're going to get in the box.
Pound for pound. Inch for inch. One of the best to do it. Nate Robinson is in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
What's good?
Trust me, I know we say pound for pound, and I know Allen Iverson can go into that conversation. But Allen Iverson, he's in a different little category. But you, my dog, bro, I'm upset. And I'm going to start it out just like this. I'm going to ask, why aren't you in the NBA right now, bro? Let the people know.
No, they don't be liking the guys that speak up for themselves, who questions things. You know what I'm saying? I was one of those players that always questioned, you know, something that if I didn't feel like it was right. I was always myself, man. I love being me, and they didn't like who I was. And, you know, my dad always told me, my mom always told me, some people are going to like you and some people are going to hate you just because you know, everybody else loves you. So
you're referring to organization specifics, like your coaches?
Yeah, it's just part of the organization, the coaches, the upper management. I mean, everybody else I seem to love me, my teammates, the fans. I mean, I show up to work every day on time, never late. First one in the gym, last one to leave, you know. Hard work mentality is something that I lived by throughout my whole 11-year career in the league. So for me, it definitely wasn't my play. And, you know, me showing up on time is probably just me being, you know, the life of the party, always having fun, you know, never was the guy that was, you know, too serious. And I was the one that, you know, wanted people to smile, laugh, and enjoy their time. year. So,
but you would think somebody like that, like you said, you know, first to the gym, you know, kind of a locker room. Yeah, kind of a locker room type of guy. Keep everything light, loose. You keep the camaraderie of the team. You would think somebody like that, right? You would think somebody like that in yourself, organizations would love that. So do you feel like, and like I said, do you feel like, as I'm in the same boat, do you feel like you were blackballed from the NBA? Because I feel like in a sense, I was blackballed from really extending my career. I felt like I could have played a good 3 to 4 more years.
Facts. I agree with you for sure. You definitely could have played. For me, I think I was, but at the same time, I mean, like there was things that they wanted me to change within myself that I just wasn't okay with.
Now, did they physically come and ask you to change something specific?
Just me and my personality, man. They just didn't want me to be Nate. And I had a big problem with that. And I wasn't going to let them, you know, change me and who I was. You know, they was like, oh, you're too loud. You're this, your language, you're that, this. And I'm like, listen, as long as I don't derail my teammates from, you know, doing things outside of the norm and what they do every day, then I don't consider me being a problem.
Right. I mean, could you think about some of the guys that are, like you said, you talk about be loud or, you know, have fun. I think of two guys on the polar opposite ends of the spectrum. When you think of being loud, I think of and trash talking, I'm thinking Gary Payton. You think about a big personality having fun, I'm thinking of Shaq. So I would also think that, okay, you kind of embody a little bit of both of those guys. And you're trying to say that a team, an organization wouldn't welcome that in their locker room?
They didn't welcome it from coming from a 5'9 guy. I would say that.
There you go. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So I had the
determination, the swagger, and then I talked a lot of shit within like my teammates, you know, just like at practice when we scrimmage and we play, like, you know, I'm bumping my gums like everybody else, but
Jimmy Butler, for example,
from a little guy like me, it just wasn't okay, I guess. Mm-hmm. They didn't want that. It's like, we already had one guy like Iverson do it. We can't have another guy like Nate Robinson. Mm.
Wow. Because of course the game last night, Tampa Bay was playing the Chicago Bears, right? A situation happened where Tom Brady came off the sideline, got a little heated at his teammates, you know, probably, you know, cussed out maybe 2 or 3 guys, but he was doing it as he was walking. And so today's, you know, Twitter is like, you know, if OBJ did that, or if Dez Bryant did that, or if T.O. did that, it's being looked at a whole different way. And you say that what's coming from a 5'9". And that is a huge issue in pro sports. It's like, if you're going to let one player be the leader, but everybody else has to, you know, kind of be a chicken towards that one player. I mean, it's not fair. People have to have their own personalities. So it's like the personality
It's just a fine line that they have to understand. Like, one, first and foremost, we're all men and we're all athletes. We're all humans. We're like, you know, things are going to get heated. You know, you're going to play with your emotions. You know, things happen. But they got to sometimes, organization, media, they got to step out of our circle for a minute and let us be the ones that can control and do the things that we need to do in order for us to be successful. Like, sometimes it takes you know, somebody like Tom Brady or Jimmy Butler or somebody to yell and cuss. And, you know, we got to do that because that fires people up.
Yeah, it does.
Also, what they say, man, oh, it looks crazy. It looks like this, but it really fires people up and gets you like, you know what? Okay, man, maybe I did, you know, mess up. And now I got to, you know, my teammate or, you know, got on my ass. And now it's time to pick it up and let's do this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But they look at it as they frown upon it when it comes from a certain individual.
I'm gonna put it in black and white. That's how it is. It's black and white. Again, when you think about the names that Hatch mentioned, if those guys, including myself, would have said it, a Dez, OBJ, we're black athletes. You know, they already say, you know, when it comes to any type of argument or even in the workplace. That when it comes from a place of confrontation or anger, they say, oh, well, it's an angry black man or it's an angry black woman. Just because we're black and we're proud and we may express ourselves differently, that doesn't mean we're coming from a different place than a white person. Right. So why is it excused or brushed under the rug because Tom Brady, who's a white athlete, says or does the same things or gestures the same thing and it's viewed differently than us athletes of color? And I've brought that to a lot of people's attention, even when I was going through my issues, because I know And I've seen it when I played. For example, one of the times I think when I went off on the sideline, we were playing, I think it may have been the Minnesota Vikings, and I went off on Greg Knapp that week. And then that same week, Rich Gannon basically cursed out his teammates, cursed out the coach. Nothing was really said about what Rich Gannon said, but the fact that me as a black athlete, it made headline news. Even today, when somebody brings up something or they're showing, you know, me being frustrated or we're on this topic of I guess, malcontent type of athletes, they show that clip of me going off on Greg Knapp. But I know for a fact during that course of that week, Rich Gannon, who's a white athlete quarterback, cussed out. You could read the lips of him, cussed out the head coach, cussed out some of his players, and nothing was said.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, on our behalf, you know, because of the color of our skin, to be able to express ourselves the way we want. And, you know, that's just a fine line, and that's a tough pill for us to swallow. But, you know, us and our culture, we've taken so much, you know, on the chin for so many years, you know what I'm saying? And it's going to continue. I mean, there's nothing that we can really do, but for us to be able to have our own platform, you know, for us to be able to have our own voices, and to be able to express, you know, who we are, maybe they can start understanding, you know, where we come from and what we believe in and what we stand for. That's the best we can do, is just continue to move forward and show them what we mean, you know, by our play and who we are and, you know, things that we do off the court. So they just don't see us being heated in a battle over on the, you know, on the football field, on the basketball court, on the golf course, you know, playing tennis, whatever the case may be, but they need to see the other side of us outside of basketball, so then they can kind of see the, you know,
bottom line is, why can't they see that we're just as competitive? It's coming from a competitive nature. It's not coming from a place of anger or
disrespect,
just
right.
Disrespect, you know,
I don't know how we get them to see that, but like all we can do is work towards it and just, you know, keep expressing, you know, who we are, you know, no matter what they write about us. You know, like you said, the media is going to write what they want. And like you said, you guys have your own podcast. We have our own platforms. We can write and say, and that's the beauty of it now. Like back then, we didn't have podcasts and all this stuff back when you played. If we would have had this, you know, back in the day when you played, things could have been so much different. You know, then you
Because
who you are and what you stand for. Yeah, facts.
Right, yeah, because now we get to dispute and dispel, you know, and really kind of speak our truth. And I think for so many years, like I said, I kind of took a backseat to the media because I knew the media has so much power. But even knowing that, I know that I didn't allow them to deter myself from what my goals were. I didn't allow them to deter or distract me from doing what I had to do from a personal standpoint of being the best receiver that I could be, nor did it deter or distract what I was, my objectives as our team goals. So I knew that, and I thank God for my grandmother for raising me the way that she did, that I was strong enough to understand some of the things that I experienced and was going through. When you talk about systematic racism, trust me, I was very aware of it. But like I said, was I going to try to battle the media and bringing up certain issues where, like I said, they probably would have considered that race baiting or what have you? No, I wasn't going to do that. But like I said, me being the strong individual that I was, I realized and recognized what my grandmother had taught me. And she basically kind of foreshadowed. She told me that these things are going to go on through as you grow up. And I experienced some of those things, and I was able to withstand and sustain a career where I was so strong-minded, and I got labeled outspoken, got labeled arrogant, cocky, got labeled a locker room, divider or what have you.
I've been labeled that too. Don't worry.
I'm curious because obviously, like I said, that you mentioned one of those things. You're like, you're a 5'9" guy. Obviously, you know, a lot of guys don't have that confidence. You know what I mean? And there's been a lot of exceptions to that. And so do you think if you were 6'9", you would still have that desire, that drive to be who you are? And obviously you have kids now. What do you do? What do you say to your kids that know that they've witnessed and you've been a perfect example of not allowing things that you can't control, which is your height, again, prevent you from achieving the success that you've achieved?
I mean, honestly, I'm gonna tell my kids just to first of all, fall in love with your game, fall in love with who you are. You know, that's something that they can't take away from you no matter what. One thing they can do, they can probably stop you from playing, and that's not getting you in the game. But when you get in the game and you get a chance to showcase what you can do, go do it and have fun and do it at your best ability. That's something right. that my mom and my father always taught me, man. You know, be comfortable with who you are and what you
right.
what you can do. If you right. know you're great at the thing that you like how you hoop or how you run your routes and how you can, like, do you.
You
know what I'm saying? Like, you, like T.O., I learned so much from you watching over the years. Like you said, if you don't like me dancing, don't let me get in the end zone. It's that easy.
Right,
if you can't, I'm gonna dance. I'm gonna do, like, you was the first one to, you know, dance and shine Sharpies during the game. Like, we, I was like, yo, that, I was like, that's right. the type of player I want to be, like, right there. Him.
Right,
that
right. there,
him. The guy right, scored right. touchdown, signed autograph, you know, with the pom-poms, the popcorn. Like, bro, like, right. you paved the way for guys to be able to celebrate now. Like, now, yeah. guys are getting interceptions, running on the opposite side of the field. Like, mm-hmm, doing, right. like, all the things that we were getting crucified for.
Yep.
Right, right.
Hey, now. You know what I'm yep. saying? So, times are changing. You know what I'm saying? They're starting to tweak it a little bit, and that's a good thing. So, I mean, for me, if I was 6'9" and taller, I'll probably still be in the league, and I'll still have the chip because I just want to be great. I want to be one of the best, and that's how I carry myself, man. So, me when I was playing, I didn't see height, and that's what I wanted. I wanted, you know, my viewers. I wanted the media. I wanted fans, and I wanted, you know, GMs and coaches. I wanted them to see that within me, like. Don't look at me as, right. oh, he's little, he's 5'9". Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, right. I did a hell of a job to be able to get this far, but only right. be 5'9". So
right.
why is that a problem? Oh, yeah, we don't right. want him because he's only 5'9". Oh, we don't want him to be because he's 5'9". Like, I got tired of hearing that. So, you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show them what 5'9" looks like.
Mm.
And I'm maybe 5'9", but I play like I'm 6'9".
Right, and right.
That's the message that I wanted to get across to the world.
Well, again, we know your love for football, of course. Like I said, you went to University of Washington on a football scholarship. Mm-hmm. Then through the years, like I say, you've always flirted and talked about, you know, playing the NFL, wanting to play in the NFL. Even like last year, we was at a high school doing flag football. We remember that was about last year. We was practicing the flag football stuff. But how do you think that your personality would have been in it? NFL locker room compared to an NBA locker room? Because again, it's a little bit more, you know, thuggish, I guess you could say, a lot more of that. You
probably
know.
Probably a little easier on, I would say a little easier on my mental.
Right, right.
Like, okay. For me, because, you know, in the locker room in the NBA, like people don't know, man, it was so difficult. I had to find different ways to cope with my team or my coaches or the GMs or whatever. Not wanting me to be myself. So there were things I would write in a journal. You know, I would go in the bathroom, sit, write in a journal for, you know, sit in the mirror, write about, you know, what I wanted to do, how I wanted to play, what I expect out of myself, just my thoughts. And I would just write every game. I have like many journals laying around here just of a lot of things I used to say and, you know, to my journal, my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was difficult that I couldn't be myself, you know. And before a game, like when you're in high school, you know, music's playing loud in the locker room, guys are having fun, we're laughing, we're giggling, we're talking, we're, you know, we're just getting in our mode. And it's like in the NBA, it's like, you know, they want you to be so serious. They don't want you to, you know, you have your own headphones if you want to listen to music, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to play it loud. Some people like, you know, loud music, some people don't, some people this.
Right. Some people like country, some people like
every single person. Right. They being like, all right, what are our team rules? What are our team rules for the players that right. don't have nothing to do with the coaches? The coaches, you can't control what we do until
players.
Time and it's your time to write on the board. You know what I'm saying? That was kind of difficult, but different teams had different rules. I'll say that. You know, it wasn't like that the whole time I was in the league, different teams. We got to play music. It was cool. But I just, you know, in a football environment, you know, it's 100 guys on the team. How can you literally micromanage 100 guys and tell them what they can
and can't? Oh, trust me. It was the same way in locker room, because you get, again, it goes sometimes, and I hate to race into it, but then like some white guys wanted to listen to country music or pop or whatever, and then, you know, but some white guys wanted to listen to hip hop, you know what I mean? So it was one of those situations you couldn't please everybody. But then, like I said, you do, like I said, with each team is different. You have team captains, and then, okay, well, maybe if team captain is like, okay, well, this week or this game, okay, we're going to play this type of music, or this week or this during this time, we're going to play that type of music.
That's how you're supposed to do it. Like, that's how we did it.
Right.
We have our days. We had whoever came in the locker room first, that's who get to choose the music. And then whoever had the most years has seniority and can change it at any time.
Right.
Wednesdays, we had White Boy Wednesdays. White Wednesdays, play whatever you want. If you're a white kind of team, White Boy Wednesdays is your day. Your locker room, get to control it. There's nothing that needs to be said. We know what it is on Wednesday. Whatever, if there's a white guy on the team, you get to choose what you want.
Right, that's what's up.
We gave them what they wanted to listen to, whatever. So we kind of wanted to play where it was like, all right, we have guys, whoever comes first, that person gets to pick. Then it goes to seniority. So if you had a guy like KG who had 19 years in the league, that's seniority over everybody. That cuts
over
Wednesdays, that cuts any day. He gets to pick whatever we're listening to and we're rocking with that. You know what I'm saying? So it was cool to be able to have, you know what I'm saying, your different days, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. So again, so you got drafted by the Knicks, right? 2005. You were there for 5 years. Okay. Again, you won the dunk contest 3 years, right? And did that take away what people looked at you as a basketball player? Just thought you maybe just a dunker?
Sometimes it did. Like when I would go to arenas and I get a fast break, people stand up. They just only wanted to see me dunk, and you know, purposely just lay the ball up because I'm like, I can do so much more than just dunk. You least expect it because it's more magical. It's more like, oh wow, like it's more authentic than to get a fast break, everybody stand up and know you're gonna dunk it because you're I'm saying dunk champion. So for me, I just I wanted to show them that I can do more. The dunk contest for me, I wanted to show them how athletic I was and you know how much of a monster I was, like competing and you know, trying to show them my creativity. And show them I'm one of the best athletes to ever walk this earth. In the game time, when it came in the game, I wanted to really play an all-around game to show them that I can do everything. I can, you know, pass, dribble, shoot, play defense, block shots, dive on the floor for loose basketballs. I want to play the crowd. You know, I want to be a showman. I want them to really enjoy themselves. If there's a kid that came to the game, I want them to be like, Dad, who is that? I want to come back and watch him play again. Oh, this is my favorite team because of that kid. And I want to be that guy. And that's how I approach the game. And it sucks that some people label me as only a dunker. But at the same time, once they seen me play, they were like, oh, yeah, he can do it all.
Mm. Yeah, you just mentioned something. Like you said, it's the intangible, the little smaller, the small things that sometimes go unnoticed. You know, obviously we're in the finals with the Lakers and the Heat. And I, before we came on the show, I got to think about some of the things that I want to talk about. And I thought, I'm like, man, the first question, which I asked him, like, why isn't this guy in the NBA? Cause I look on both rosters. You look at the Lakers. They have some guys that are on the bench, obviously haven't sniffed the court. Jared Dudley is a number of guys, and not to hate on any of those guys. You think about, the Heat, you got, they got some new guys. The guy, what's it? Nunn or Dunn, Nunn. And you think about Udonis Haslam. He hasn't really played. He's on their squad. Right. So I do you look at these games and when you start talking about, you know, diving on the floor, doing those little small, those 50-50 balls? Because I saw in game four the other night, Nunn, he could have got an easy rebound, but the hustle play of Caruso, he came over his head and got the rebound. Nunn was right there, but he was so nonchalant. I think he doesn't understand that this opportunity that he has, when you talk about 50-50 balls, those rebounds, those little plays count. That's an extra possession. That's an extra possession because the Lakers just missed a shot. It bounced off. He was right there. He was so lackadaisical and casual about trying to get the rebound. It was almost like he thought it was like a regular season game. But Caruso, with that extra effort, him understanding he's with LeBron James, him being in the finals for the first time, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. He went and got that rebound. And again, some of these games that I've watched, it has resulted in these 50-50 balls of the guys you see when they're hungry and they're on the verge of championship. And some guys, they just don't get it. Do you look at these games and, like I said, I mentioned a couple of guys on each roster, and you'd be like, man, I could make a difference. Especially speaking of the Heat, because now they had a couple of injuries.
Definitely think I can. I think I could make a difference on a lot of teams for sure. And to talk about that situation and that during that time of the rebound and 50-50 balls, it's just my coach Lorenzo Romar in college used to always tell me there's two types of players. There's a player that's a cool jacket and there's an energy guy. Caruso is an energy guy. None in a cool jacket. He's a kind of too cool for school type. You know, he got that swag about him. Caruso's straight, I want to win. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to knock you over, push you out the way to get the ball. Like, you can tell by the way he plays. That's his identity. Mm-hmm. He'll play like that if he was on any team in the NBA.
Yep.
That's his identity. That's his makeup. Yep. Nunn's makeup is the cool jacket, swag. I want to get buckets and I want to look doing it. It's a little different. And that's right. Why. And on top of that, you got LeBron James, who won many championships. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got AD, who's on the team with LeBron, who's, you know, LeBron's bringing out so many great players. You know, he's making you even, you know, better than what you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Raising everybody's level of competition and everybody's, you know, stardom. And he's making everybody better. And you can see it on the court. Everybody believes. And when they got a guy like that on the team, I mean, it's, you know.
Changes the dynamic.
To do what you're supposed to do.
Personally, I'm looking at this series. Granted, LeBron is doing some amazing things. Me, my MVP is AD because
without AD, I don't think the Lakers.
Not even close.
The Lakers would have made this one.
Right, because his point per game average is better, and his field goal percentage is better than LeBron's. Obviously, like I said, LeBron is a great athlete, basketball mind player. He's facilitating. He's doing a lot of stuff.
He's probably by far the best player in the world, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, but if he doesn't have AD on his team, which I think he should be the MVP. They're not up 3-1 right now. That's for sure.
No, they're not even there. If you ask me, they're not even in the finals. If you ask me, without AD, they ain't even in the finals.
Everybody needs that one player to help them be great. I mean, everybody. Right. Shaq had Kobe. Kobe had Shaq. Jordan had Pippen. Pippen had Jordan. You know, everybody needed that one other person to make them great.
Yeah, let's take a pause for the call. We're taking a chronic break?
No, we can't do that.
No chronic break?
No, no smoking on set, buddy. Besides, we don't smoke anyway. But no, we'll be right back to Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast.
Hesh, man.
Yes, sir.
You got your glasses on, but why you got your head on? What you got your head on for?
Hey, you know why. Shoot, I need a haircut while you playing.
you need Keats. That's what you need.
Okay.
That's what you need. As guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair, from how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the ways it's perfectly styled before going out. That's why when we get into our 20s and 30s and start noticing the first signs of hair loss, it definitely feels like panic time. Because let's face it, no guy is ever ready to go bald. Thankfully, now there's Keats. The simple and easy way to keep your hair.
Looks like you've been panicking for about 20 years yourself, T. But you know, did you know 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left.
Get treated from home. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for a hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months so you can say goodbye to the pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably never for this price.
And prevention is key. Remember that, because Keeps treatments typically take between 4 to 6 months to see results. So it's important that you act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save.
Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and more than 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free.
So not only can you save hair, you can also save money. If you're ready, take action and prevent hair loss. Go to keeps.com/popcorn to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's K-E-E-P-S keeps.com/popcorn.
That's KEEPS.com/popcorn. So yeah, for all you people listening, that's the Jets chant. Jets. KEEPS. Keeps.
There it is. And well, you know what, T? Your birthday is coming up, bro.
Oh yeah.
And you know what I'm gonna do for you this year for your birthday?
I don't want you to do anything for me.
No, because you my guy, you my boy. Oh, my, right? I'm gonna send you a box of awesome. You know what's gonna come in your box of awesome?
I hope Olivia Munn is in there.
No, Olivia Munn is not in there because she has a boyfriend.
No, she doesn't.
Yes, yeah, she does. So you guess what's gonna be in your box of awesome?
I don't want to guess.
Me, because I'm awesome. And to make you awesome, you're gonna have to use my awesomeness. So I'm gonna send you a box of awesome with me, Hatch, inside your box of awesome, because you my boy.
Anyways, as we all settle into this new normal version of life, as we approach the fall and winter months, get ready to snuggle up, people. Bespoke Post is here with customized box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. Bespoke Post only send guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has carefully built collections for every part of your life.
And to get started, all you gotta do is take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel at any time. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code popcorn at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code popcorn for 20% off your first box.
There you have it, people. And just so you don't miss out, again, get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter my favorite promo code popcorn at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code popcorn, for 20% off your first box.
And you might even get a box of me, Hatchy Hatch.
They're gonna have a lot of returns.
You know what? Yeah. I feel great this morning, brother. I got my workout in today. I feel great about myself right now.
So why are you feeling so good? Is there something in particular you're taking? I mean, is it something like, you know, you're taking some energy pills? You're taking
I am taking protein powder. I'm not taking no energy pills. And the best part about it all is it's sport plant-based powder, right? Called Orgain. Thanks to Orgain, their sport plant-based powders help me get the most out of my workout and feel my absolute best like I do right now. The Orgain Sport Protein Powder is a unique blend of organic ingredients that help build strength and optimize both performance and recovery. I mixed it into my little smoothie this morning, right? So I had some bananas, some apples, some blueberries and strawberries, and I put the Orgain powder in there. It was perfect, bro. And now you see the end result. Me feeling good, feeling refreshed, and don't care about all that nonsense you speaking over there.
I mean, so you doing all this. I mean, now you're on the road to recovery because, I mean, you were, you know, on a little downslope, but now you seem like you've been revitalized. Sound like, you know, you're refreshed and you've recovered.
Mm-hmm. See, we all know that recovery is just as important as the workout. And Orgain also has a sport recovery powder that maximizes restoration. It replenishes tired muscles with a unique blend of plant-based organic ingredients, including adaptogenic mushrooms to help reduce inflammation. Thanks to Orgain, I finally found the best clean products to help keep me healthy and maximize my performance. And right now, you can save 20% off your first order. Plus, when you subscribe, you can save even more. Go to tryorgain.com/popcorn. That's tryorgain.com/popcorn for 20% off your first order plus extra savings when you subscribe. tryorgain.com/popcorn.
How did you play in a Super Bowl with a broken ankle, bro? Like, you're a monster.
it was tough though. Like the rehab process that I went through, trust me, bro. Like, I don't know if I would want to go through that again. Just thinking about just recalling the excruciating pain that I had to go through, like the couple of days.
You showed your ass that I could, bro. I would have started running people so bad.
Right, but sometimes, like I said, it's one of those things, like, it's mind over matter. And not everybody is equipped to really go out there and block out, like I said, pain or just the situation. Like I said, for me, I knew that in my mind, like, there was a lot of things that I focused on. And number one, I wanted to exercise my faith in God that I could go out and really show to the world that there is a higher being. If you put your faith in him, all things are possible. Facts. But at the same time, I pushed myself to a physical limit too, understanding, okay, I wasn't medically cleared to play in that Super Bowl. I had to sign a waiver because had I injured myself, that was a lawsuit that could have, you know, that could have been put in place. So right. I had to sign that medical waiver just to play in the Super Bowl. So again, for me, there was a lot of things, like I said, I missed moments of because I was so zoned in on really just focusing on like, okay, not to get injured, but I just had to play. Once I was on the field, when the ball came my way, bro, I didn't even really think about anything until the ball got in my hand. Then I'm like, okay, get what I can, get out of bounds, don't do anything crazy. But again, like I said, man, I just wanted to exercise, number one, like I said, my faith in God. And really, yeah. Like I said, I knew that I had the ability based on what I had, the work that I had put into with that rehab process, I knew that I was ready to go.
Yeah, that was unbelievable, bro. Just know that.
Oh, appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it.
Like, we as fans really appreciate a guy that really sacrificed his body, you know, for his team and really go out there and do what you, like, how nobody would have played. Nobody else in their right mind would have been playing. And nobody playing today.
And yeah, in today's game, yeah, nobody doing that. People get with
little pinky.
Yeah, with a hangnail. I'm out a week. I'm out a week. Y'all go right ahead. Yeah. So speaking about today's game, like I said, would you have went into the bubble? Were you opted out? Like, what's that whole scenario? If you were playing.
I'm probably playing.
I figured. I would.
Play. I love the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Love to compete, you know, and but I want to win. I want to win a championship. So I definitely would have played for sure. Mm-hmm. I was debating on like what I really would have went. I've been going back and forth, you know, asking myself like, but you love the game. You love it. You want to go play. You want to go showcase what you can do.
Right.
And, you know, you want to be there for your team. You want to be here for your fans, the people that believe mm-hmm. in you, want to see you play. So, you know, you want to go out and produce. I mean, especially with everything that's going on right now, you know, from our people, you know, what we're dealing with all this, you know, police brutality. I mean, it's tough to be in the middle between the two, man. It's very tough, but I definitely probably would have played.
Yeah. And I think obviously being that you mentioned, like that, you one of the guys that would have played, you think about some of the guys, they made a name for themselves in the bubble. You think of TJ Warren, you think about Trey Burke, you think about obviously going into next season, the team that was undefeated in the bubble in the Phoenix Suns. And what they were able to do. Now it's going to be interesting to see, is that going to transition? Are they going to continue to play as well as they did from the bubble into next year?
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I mean, the Suns definitely show how much young talent they have on that team. You know, mm-hmm. They got some young talent, man. And Book is definitely one of the superstars that's emerging in this league right now. So it's going to be fun to watch the next season, especially how this 2020-21 coming. We don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little difficult to see, you know, how the NBA is going to move forward, how they're going to move with sports and everything. I'm just waiting to see because you got to imagine now this will be the time where NBA be starting right now, September, October.
Right.
Say November.
Exactly.
This is the season be starting.
Right. So now right. Training camp started in October.
How do they get out of this and go to the next one? How do they transition? How do they make the transition and start next season? When they gonna start? We don't know.
Yeah, but Benji, you mentioned that I heard that okay, obviously this season will end, I would say within this tonight or next week. Yeah. In a week, they're talking about okay, restarting the season in December. So just to get back on par,
year of basketball, year round basketball for this year like that, it's crazy.
It's tough.
Right, right.
So I know,
right, yeah, dude. I know. Me and Hatch, we want to get on this subject. You know, obviously, like I said, you played football in high school, and then you know, just to again fast forward, and then a few years. I don't know when you did it, but a few years back or whatever, you tried it for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? And then I was honestly curious as to see what if they would have given you opportunity to see what you could do. And I'm bummed that they didn't give you that opportunity.
No, man. When I say I really wanted to, I just wanted to at least go, at least let me just preseason. Just let me
suit up. Yeah,
let me see what I can do in preseason. Dude. And then you can count your losses or whatever.
Let the chips fall where they fall.
Exactly. So I really wanted that opportunity, no matter if they put me on offense or defense. I just wanted to show them what I can do because, I mean, I came from a long list of, you know, football. My dad, you know, he's the only Orange Bowl, Rose Bowl MVP ever. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, basketball, football was first, it was like, it came to me so easy. And my dad put that football in my hand, man. And I mean, it's like, it was like clockwork, man. It was just fun. Mm-hmm. And it was just a sport that I really loved and enjoyed playing. When I got the opportunity to, you know, try for the Seahawks, Coach Pete Carroll called me. I talked to him and I'm like, look, I really want to try out. Like, what do I got to do to get a tryout?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we'll come evaluate you and we'll sit you down, we'll talk, and then, you know, we'll put you through some drills. And I was like, cool, just say when.
Right.
And, you know, I practiced a little bit for it. I just wanted to see what my 40 time was. Not fast. It was like 4.5. I run like cool. 4.5. But I think with more time and more practice, I think I could have got that down to 4.4 easy. But just, you know, getting out there, running some routes, you know, backpedaling, doing a little backpedaling. I mean, like when you play for so long, it comes back to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so much fun watching guys like, you know, Richard Sherman and Bobby Wagner, all the football, like they're always there watching me go through this, man. Doug Baldwin. And they were like, bro, we hope that they give you a spot on the squad just so, you know, you'll be a part, because he said they were like, the whole city will go crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, guy from Seattle, Washington, playing for the
team. Right.
Like the fan base, it just went crazy. But yeah, they.
Man, Pete Carroll is a bum, dog. He's a bum.
You don't like Pete?
Bro, he brought me in for two unnecessary weeks, bro. Bro, brought me in there, bro.
Why is he a bum, though, man? He ain't got to be a bum.
He is a bum. No, he's a bum. So there was no reason for him to cut me, bro. There was no reason. I had so many guys from the defense side of the ball that texted me after, bro. They were just as shocked as I was. Bro, it was no reason for him to cut me, bro.
Seattle too. Oh my god.
Bro, there was no reason, bro. They had a reason, bro. Okay, I dropped a couple of balls, bro.
Well, anybody, you can't drop a couple of balls. Okay, that's, but the thing, that's the reason.
Matter. But if they know, bro, that's me. Everybody drops the ball, but at the
not
end
when,
of the day,
no, not when you're on the bubble.
No, but at, first of all, at the end of the day,
now when you're walking on eggshells.
That's what I'm saying. They had no, because they already perceived you a certain way. So they're like, T got to come in here and he has to make no mistakes. Which is not fair to T.
Exactly. First of all, I'm not a bubble type of player, bro. My body of work speaks for itself, bro. If I'm coming off an injury, bro, of course. This is like, not to say I'm comparing myself to MJ. Nobody's going to come back to their normal form off an injury or you've been out of the game for a year. Bro, that was just rust. At the end of the day, everything was starting to click. If you watch my practices, bro, every other day, bro, every day I was getting better and better just off the fact of not being around football, being in that type of environment on an everyday basis.
So you wanted to pass.
They got to give you some leeway, just a little bit.
Of course. That's like
they don't be wanting to do that. Trust me.
That's what I'm saying. They don't want to do that.
That's like me going in and trying to work out for a team. I would have to literally be on my best behavior. I probably would have to cut my hair. I would have to be squeaky clean.
Yes, sir.
I'm with your goody two shoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just too much.
Here's the question everybody want answered, right? So, Nate, five reps. T, five reps. How many balls does T catch on you, Nate, in five reps?
Right now?
Let's say 5 years ago.
I'll give him three.
You give him three? Okay.
Yeah, T, would you? Because two of those, like you know what I'm saying, my quickness as in playing basketball translate to football, I'm gonna be on him. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be on it. Like, he might be strong enough to catch. I'll give him three to four.
You give him three?
I'm going to be right there. It's not going to be like he's just going to be routing me the whole time.
Right, okay. Okay.
Nick, I'm going to route you up, dog.
So, you give me
a good trainer like Dion or somebody to train with. I'm on that.
Okay, bet. I'm going to say 4 out of 5.
Four out of five.
I get 3 to 4. 3 or 4 out of 5. I said it. Sure.
It depends on who the quarterback is too. Because if I got this bum quarterback right here,
I play receiver, but I can play quarterback. Don't get it twisted.
Hey, I'm not. Hey, Nate. Yo, trust me. When he owned, He's suspect. Hey. He's suspect.
Absolutely. I gotta have a mistake. You know what I'm saying?
I hope I get a pick after one of those mistakes. So yeah.
He allowed me to get like Jay Cutler now.
I'll throw you one. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'll throw you one here and there. That's fun. So if you got to play in the NFL, who would have, like, so that was 2017. So what, the top receivers at the time were like Julio, Larry Fitzgerald, Baldwin at that time down there in Seattle. Who would you have been looking forward to match up with that season if you could have got that opportunity?
To get that opportunity, man.
I'm bummed. I'm bummed for you, bro. Because like I said, bro, there's no reason. Why wouldn't you do it? Why wouldn't he bring you in? Like you said, preseason. You have nothing to lose.
That would have been lit, but I mean,
bro, like, exactly.
They probably, the reason why I really believe they didn't want me, they didn't want it to be Nate Robinson to be the first player ever to cross over from NBA to NFL. Now, guy like LeBron, they would have signed LeBron with a heartbeat. You know what I'm saying?
In a heartbeat.
That's sweet, bro. Like I said, he's a bum.
They would have signed him. Anybody else, they probably would have signed in a heartbeat. But if it's me, nah, they wouldn't let me do it.
But dude, that's not for me, bro. I'm rooting for anybody, bro. I'm not a hater like that. I don't care who it is. That's just me. Like,
no, so I've never been. You kind of a hater. You kind of a hater.
No, yeah. When it comes to me, you're a hater.
Absolutely. You see what I'm saying? That's hate. That's a hater. That's the definition of a hater.
No, when it comes to you, yes, I'm hating.
So here's the some Pro Bowl receivers in 2017. Now you had Antonio Brown, Amari Cooper went, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green. Emmanuel Sanders, Jarvis Landry, Demaryius Thomas. That's just the AFC. And then like the NFC receivers, Julio, Odell, Mike Evans, Dez Bryant, Doug Baldwin, and Larry Fitzgerald.
Mike Thomas, all those guys.
Mike Thomas is a beast.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with the matchup. I'll probably say AB. AB, I think his route running is impeccable.
Ooh, yeah. You kind of
that would have been tough. That'd be tough.
Some dope ass routes, man. And he's like more my size. So going up to my quick like that, that'd be pretty lit. And I think that'd be a nice little playing field to be able to go against somebody like AB.
But knowing you, like I said, if we were boys and like I said, you made the team, I'm texting you. I'm like, yo, bro, understand obviously you're gonna have your defensive assignments, you're gonna have coverage, they're gonna kind of help you a little bit. But just know they're gonna try to get you in some one-on-one situation. You know they're gonna attack you. So
that's what I want though. See, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. But I want that quote.
So
when I was in college, I used to go again. When I was at UW, you know, shout out to the Huskies, man, the Dogs All Day. I used to go against Reggie Williams every day.
Okay.
Reggie Williams is one of the coldest receivers in college in about 2002, 2003, 2002, them years.
Yeah,
I was in he went, I think he went to the Jaguars first round.
I was in Jacksonville that year when he was brought a monster. Him in. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I would go like, when I was in college, nobody, like, they didn't want to go against him. I'm like, y'all scared of this guy, man? Yeah. I lined up with him every day. Every time he lined up, I was like, move, I got him. I'm going one-on-one with him. And I would be with him every day. And he showed me so much, like, so much love because he taught me so much. Every time we did ones, if he caught the ball, he would run it all the way to the end zone, no matter if we were inside of the field. He would catch it and run all the way to the end zone. And I would chase him, trying to strip him. And I was trying to strip the ball, punch the ball out. And he was like, bro, I like that. Keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're bad. So then I remember a couple times, you know, did ones, I got a pick. And I was going against him. He would chase me.
Yeah.
You know, I get a pick, he'll chase me to the other team. And I was like, bro, that's what's up. That showed us, you know,
competition.
So much competition and made us better. So then every time he caught a pass in the game and scored and ran, he was like, Nate, I was just thinking about you chasing me.
Yeah.
He was like, that helped me so much. So thank you. So I used to go the best every day. So I would want the one-on-one smoke all the time.
Man, listening you describe that between you and Reggie Williams, bro, that lets me know. And I hope our listeners are listening to this. That lets me know that you're successful for that exact reason. Your mindset, your approach, just to football. And so now you turn and channel all that into basketball. No wonder you're so successful. So I want all our listeners there to know. We're talking to Nate Robinson. Shout out to Nate Robinson, NBA's first three-time NBA dunk, slam dunk champion. Played in the NBA from 05 to 16. Venezuelan League Championship and Grand Final MVP in 2017. Shout out to Nate Robinson, man.
Appreciate
yeah,
you.
Sir. Yeah, and speaking of being a complete athlete, so obviously he does it all, right? He can run and jump and do all these things for his age, right? Doing everything, right? But I know one thing he ain't doing. He ain't getting in that boxing ring. Now I heard that there's Jake Paul. Is it Jake Paul or Cody Paul? You saw
YouTube, Jake Paul fighting November 28th under the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones.
Now, where did this whole thing come from? I'm confused on this.
I mean, seeing him on YouTube, seeing him on Instagram, social media, just, you know, talking a lot of Yang about how he could beat anybody up.
Yeah.
And he got hands and, you know, he's accepting all challengers. And I was like, shit, I'll fight you.
I'll challenge you. Okay. Okay.
Like, are you going to go in this ring, right? So I know you're going in this ring with a lot of animosity. I mean, are you taking a lot of this frustration? You've been blackballed from the league, you know, Pete Carroll didn't let you play.
I get the opportunity to fight somebody and not get fined.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And where we're coming from, like, it ain't like you fight a teammate, you get in trouble, you get fined, you get this.
Right.
League, right. You get fined for fighting. Nah, ain't none of that. Now you actually get paid to fight.
So let me go a little step further. Is this a one-off? This is a one and done type of thing, or you just
not necessarily, but I mean, it depends on who's the next challenger, depending on like how this fight goes. If I can get the win, going in and see if, you know, there's another guy, a YouTuber that thinks he's nice, that that Jake Paul's brother fought, his name's Logan Paul. He fought a guy at KSI that's been, you know, bumping his gums as well, saying he's, you know, the best and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we'll see.
Okay. So from our perspective as athletes, if you put any type of YouTuber or entertainer up against us doing anything athletic, we're going to embarrass you, right?
I mean, if this
dude ends up beating you in a fight, you letting all of us down. Like you can't lose. It's like you got to carry the weight of every single player.
He's saying that he's already a professional fight. He has 3 fights, which is cool. All right. Yes, I'm athletic and play and played many sports. This is I'm getting 3 months, 4 months practice, and he's already 3 years. I have nothing to lose. Win, lose, or draw. I have nothing to lose.
Right. Right.
Gain. Because one, this is definitely, I'm stepping out of my realm.
It's not like you're going into his domain.
It's not like he's coming to basketball and he's playing hoop. Like, that'd be more embarrassing. Like him playing basketball and embarrassing me playing basketball, that would never fucking happen.
Right.
That's not happening. But I'm stepping into a whole nother realm, which is not no basketball. It's not basketball. It's not football.
Right.
Old school, straight up getting in the ring and getting it on. So that's what it is. Ooh. It's gonna be fun, bro. I'm like,
this is gonna be fun.
It's not. I'm not taking this lightly. This is. I'm training every day. I'm about to go train in a minute. I run miles. Okay. I do 2 days.
Who's your trainer? Who's training you?
Then on top of that, I want to show people like what the hard work and determine everything that I put into it and what it looks like.
Right. No doubt.
I'm not just doing this for me, man. This is like, this is way bigger than me.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely motivation. Like I said, outside of the sport of boxing itself, like I said, you have no idea what this could do for somebody. Like I said, that's laying in bed, you know, that maybe that's got dealing with cancer, going through chemo.
I just want to be interesting to people.
Right. Some little kid.
Anything.
Right. Some little kid or some little girl. You know what I mean? That really doesn't know how to navigate through. Becoming an athlete, they want to aspire. They aspire to be something, and they don't really know which road to take. You know what I mean? They're at a fork in the road. So I commend you for what you're doing. And as you said, you don't have anything to lose. You have everything to gain. So anybody that wants to say anything after that, or to the fact of okay, well, you know, he does have something to lose. That's
so I'm reading this book. It's called what is it called by David Goggins.
David Goggins, a motivation.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember him. He could put he's crazy.
He's a doll. He's a doll. David Goggins' book. It might be just about him, right?
Can't hurt me.
Can't hurt me.
Can't hurt.
Yeah, so I mean, reading that, he's saying that if people was hating and saying, "Oh, you got knocked out, or you lost, you this," I'm like, "Well, I'm doing something that you ain't nobody doing. Nobody's stepping in the ring."
You can't do it.
There's nobody else. So I don't. For me personally, I don't care what the outsiders are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ain't doing it, and you ain't getting it for me or him. So what can you possibly say to me? Like, I'm out here showing up, putting in the work, and doing all the this blood, sweat, and tears through this. I'm the one going to the barn every day. I'm the one here, you know, flipping tires and running 7 to 10 miles every day. Like, I'm doing that, waking up at 6 and 5 a.m. in the morning. Y'all ain't doing it.
First of all, you miss me with the whole 7 to 8.
You know what I'm saying?
You miss exactly. Yeah.
It's gonna be fun. And then on top of that, on Friday night, I want to really show people, like, a guy that's never boxed or never, you know, I've never been in a boxing match before, but I want to show what a couple months can do. Potentially, if I get another fight, what a year of training can do from ground zero.
Right. You know I commend you. You miss me with the whole 7 to 8 miles.
No, listen, I don't like the long distance, but for me it's just showing me, like, I'm doing this at 36, not at,
you know, right, 26, yeah,
25, at 36, you know what I'm saying? I'm in the damn near the best shape of my life at 36 years old, and I'm new to this,
so that's, I can't, awesome,
wait, can't wait to show, you know, in that ring, to really pay Jake Paul a nice visit, because, like, yo, you got me running miles and shit that I really don't want.
That's right, awesome. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, as an audience out there, you know, we try to motivate as well as, you know, give you guys information. Again, go do it. Like you said, go do it. It's never too late. You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're 30, 40, 50, whatever your dreams and aspirations are, go chase them. Because again, no, like you said, nobody else is going to do it.
Some people don't know when to start. You just got to start.
Just got to start.
Right time. Just jump in.
Yep. Just got to start.
Go ahead and jump in.
The way will appear on the way out. Just go. You know what I'm saying? Just go. But there it is. We have Nate Robinson. Yeah, before you go, let's give me your top five football guys and your top five basketball players of all time. We just want to get that from Nate Robinson's point of
football, view. So I'm going to go football first. Man, football is so tough. Yeah. My favorite DB, Deion Sanders, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Already.
Prime in there.
Congratulations. Prime time, Deion Sanders.
Favorite running back of all time, Barry Sanders.
Yeah, already. Yes, sir.
Prime, and I have three favorite receivers. T.O. is definitely one of them. I
got nice. Okay.
And
nice.
Oh, man, my third one. Who do my I third want? And T.O. Moss. I would say Jerry Rice. I like Jerry Rice a lot. He's a big, big fan. But
man. One of these young boys, go one of the Odells or Larry Fitzgerald or Julio or Megatron.
I like Megatron too. Megatron's lit. But man, I'm gonna have to go with
or a hometown hero like Steve Largent or something.
Yeah, he was cool. But Joey Galloway,
you can't be leading the witness here.
Joey Galloway, one of my favorites.
Man. Joey Galloway, okay.
He's one of my favorites. Okay.
Oh, that was a blast from the past, right there.
He's Joey Galloway.
Galloway is one of my favorites. He's a Seattle guy.
Yeah. Okay.
But I love Tim Brown. Tim Brown was filthy to me growing up.
Weak. He's weak. Trash. God,
Tim Brown was filthy. You trip. You hate. You now you hate.
Trash. See, I told you he a hater. I told you he a hater.
Tim Brown flipped my Raiders.
No, I don't say that because he hated on me when I was in San Fran. And I trust me. That's the only reason.
Okay.
I don't just openly hate on people unless they hate on me first. Like, I was in San Fran. Man.
Megatron. Quarterback. Oh man, quarterback's tough for me. I love Michael Vick, one of my favorite quarterbacks ever.
Nice. Yeah. Already.
Can't go. You definitely can't against Brady. She's
love him.
Yeah, you're already right,
Obis. After that, let me see.
Nick Foles and Eli Manning is Brady kryptonite, boy.
Hey, everybody got some. Everybody got some.
They've been doing his thing. They've been doing their thing against Brady.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah.
Defensively, linebackers. I love, let me see, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, man. Animal.
Man, enough for that football, man. Give me your five basketball.
Man,
damn football.
I got six because I never could leave out Allen Iverson ever.
Yeah, okay. Facts.
That's a never, ever. He's always on my list. But
respect.
I'm gonna go with Michael Jordan, of course. That's my number one favorite.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Kobe Bryant.
Thank you. Here we go.
LeBron James.
There we go. That will be my order.
Kevin Garnett.
Okay.
KG, okay.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq dog. Okay. There it is.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's and my,
got
my your first
my,
three.
I got AI. I got my AI. My six. Yeah, my six man.
That's what's up. Oh man, that's what's up, man. We're talking to Nate Robinson, man. In 5'9", but he plays shit. Boy plays
like he's 6'9".
Hey man, I love when you win and you play with Chicago. Man, bro, you brought so much excitement to that city. And then just me, like I said, watching it, and honestly, like I said, knowing that transition, knowing you having to really kind of not really prove yourself again when you go to a new team, but you gotta be productive. You gotta show people that, like, yo, I'm still the same player. I'm a different uniform, but I'm still the same player. I know we're about to let you go, but can you explain this? Okay, yeah, you're moving city to city. Is it hard? Tell us what is the thought process of a NBA player like yourself going to a new team? And like I said, you have the ability, you got coaches trying to obviously kind of facilitate and kind of put you in with different groups of guys to make you guys gel together. What is that like to try to find that, I guess, find that niche, that groove to with the new group and the new nucleus of guys?
I mean, one, just be yourself. I mean, that's the main thing, is just, you know, show them who you are. And then, like, winning the fans over is just playing your heart out, but showing them how much you love the game. I think when I got to Chicago, you know, I was on a partial non-guaranteed contract.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like third, you know, fourth guard off the bench.
Right.
And, you know, in my head, I was like, all right, Nate, like, you got to go in here and you just got to play. You know, you just got to play, like, you know, like, you trying out for varsity all over again, like you were fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you coming in fresh to a new team. You want to show them, like, you know what, I belong here. And you know, throughout that season, I was just putting in extra work, you know, outside of, you know, going to the facility, man, because I didn't want them to tell me what I need to work on. I wanted to be in the gym by myself like I was when I was a kid, you know, not my mom, my dad around, my coaches, just me working on my game, getting my shots up and falling in love, you know, with the game all over again. And it's like starting from ground zero when you go to a new team. I just did that. And, you know, when I got to Chicago, they welcomed me with open arms. So it was easy. It was easy for me to go out and produce and to show up every night and give the fans what they deserve, which is somebody to come in and play as hard as they can for as long as they can. And then I wanted to get the, you know, the crowd involved. I wanted to get them fired up. And I wanted them to see, like I want y'all to believe in, you know, in me and my energy that I'm bringing to the game, because I want y'all to feel how I feel, which is good and happy and positive at all times. And I think I did that for that, you know, for that year, because that year that it was tough for us because they didn't believe we were going to be anything because of Rose is out. And then a couple other guys got hurt. They were like, oh, the Bulls, you know, they're out. Don't, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. They picked us not to even make the playoffs, not even the A's.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Wow. We really showed, you know, without D Rose, that we stepped up big time with guys like, you know, Jimmy Butler, who's blossomed into one of the dopest, you know, superstars in his league.
Mm-hmm.
Luol Deng, Joakim Noah, Carlos Boozer, Taj Gibson, myself, Marco Bellinelli, Anas Muhammad. You know, we had Rip Hamilton. We had so many different guys with different identities, and we literally bonded together and we put it together and it worked. And now had a hell of a season and made it to the second round of the playoffs, which people didn't even believe we'd have made it that far.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I appreciate you sharing that, because like I said, I know Hatch gets it a lot of times. I get it a lot of times, especially from dads, moms, aunts and uncles. It's like, you know, can you speak to our kids? You know what I mean? Can you give us some motivation of what it takes to get to that next level? And obviously for somebody that played 11, 12 years in the league, like I said, I've been one of those guys that have gone from team to team. And it's almost like you don't necessarily have to prove to yourself or prove to anybody else your worth or your abilities. You just have to have that mindset to go in there, like you said, be you. And so a lot of these kids, like I said, they don't understand that process of it because they haven't had the experience. But experience teaches us a lot of things. And so for myself and just hearing you talk, is that experience allowed you to go in and understanding that, like you said, you're like third, fourth, fifth off the bench. You're not penciled in. You're not a starter. So a lot of these kids, like I said, they have the mentality. They have that starter mentality, but then they don't have that starter work ethic and that mentality as well. They get beside themselves, or they feel discouraged because they're not in the rotation. But you, like you said, you made the most. What I've heard you say, you've made the most of your opportunities when the coaches allowed you to do something.
That I definitely did throughout my years, man, because I felt like I should have played a lot more than I did. But my dad always told me, it's not how you start the game, son, it's how you finish it.
Right, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In the game, he always tell me, when you're in the game, you show them, like how much you want to shine. You show them how right. the game is. You know what I'm saying? You're like, my dad used to always tell me, you're Nate the Great. I named you that for a reason, bro. Like,
wow.
You're Nate
the Great.
You got to believe in yourself. And he's the
artist. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, he really embedded that in my head. He planted that seed in my head. And every day I would I would doubt myself sometimes. Like, man, maybe they see me as in this type of player, or maybe I'm not as good as they think. But, and then a part of me be like, you know what? No, you are that, and you're better. Right. It's just getting, you're not getting the time, but in the little bit of time that you get, show them what you can do in a little bit of time. Yep. So I just try to maximize that. If I play 10 minutes, I'm trying to get 10 points.
Absolutely. Right.
I'm not just in here.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm in there, I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to get something. Yeah. I'm trying to get a rebound that is so high that people be like, oh my God, who is that guy? Why is he not? I want them to question. So then I start talking. It's like, I let my fans and the media and everybody else speak for me, because I can't say it the way I want to.
Of course,
you're crucified for it. So I'm gonna play my little heart out, do everything I'm supposed to do, and I'm gonna let the fans speak for me.
Yeah. So all you kids, mom, dads, uncles, aunts, and uncles, granddads, and grandparents, you heard it from one of the best guards, NBA players himself. I mean, he's 5'9", but he plays really, really big. For all you kids that are listening, especially these parents that can share with what they're hearing today on this podcast with your kids, is that, like I said, make the most of your opportunities. Don't put so much focus and priority on being a starter. You have to make the most of those opportunities. And so I even try to stress that with my son. You know, he's in college now. He's a walk-on. He's behind a few receivers or what have you. He doesn't really know when his opportunity is going to come, but I told him, always stay ready.
Stay ready.
You don't got to get ready.
Yep. Exactly. I told him, approach practice like it's a game. I said, I understand you have your boys, this, and that, and the other, but their goals aren't your goals, and vice versa. You have to have that mindset that, okay, I want to be able to get on that field. Like you said, when you get on that field, be able to, like I said, have something on tape where it stands out. No matter what.
Yeah, it could be a block. It could be anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to make them to make those coaches, GMs, question themselves, okay, why haven't we played this guy? Why isn't this guy on the field? And again, it takes one opportunity, like I said, and that can make or break you. But don't go into the situation thinking, you know, having doubt. And we're all human. We all are athletes. We kind of have anxiety going into big games or regular games. We have doubt. But like that, that's just the human nature in us. But you can't allow that doubt to manifest and consume you.
I just question myself. I want to say, man, I used to always look in the mirror and ask myself, like, what are you going to do today? Like, how you feel today? You ready to be great? You ready to do something that, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody
seen? Like, I used to always question myself on, you know, what do I expect out of myself? What do I want to see? You know, what do I want to do? If I want to dunk on somebody, if I want to score 50, I would tell myself, go out and score 50 tonight. Like,
go try, no doubt.
Go try. You know what I'm saying? So that was me. I would talk to myself. It's like self-motivation is like the best one you can have.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Nate the Great Robinson, on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. We appreciate you coming on, man, sharing the thoughts and time with you, man.
Hey, T.O., hey, thank you, bro, for everything you've done, bro. You know, in one of my dunk contests, you know, I paid a tribute to you in one of my little dunk contests back in, I think it was in Dallas. When I did one of my dunks and I took the little cheerleaders pom pom,
the pom pom joint.
I appreciate you, dog.
That's awesome. No, we appreciate you, man. We appreciate your career, what you've done, what you're doing.
Keep doing it. Yep.
Exactly. Being an example for all the short people in the world, your kids, and just letting people know, man. It's not about the height. You know what I mean? It's all about the size. And your mental, your mindset that can take you so far. So I appreciate that, man.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate y'all, man.
I appreciate you. Nate the Great Robinson on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast.
All right, fellas. Yep.
All right, peace. So now we go to our three and out segment where we take three things that we take away from the interview and kind of put them out to the audience on what kind of moved us or what, you know, we found interesting. And to me, I thought one of the things was when he was in the locker room, how he would be writing in his journal, right?
Right. Is that,
I mean, you know, we've been in locker room. We I don't think I've never seen one of my teammates go write in a journal before.
The journal, right? Yeah. I mean, he said he would go to the bathroom. Like I said, yeah. whatever he was going through or whatever situation, the fact that he just kind of, I guess, excused himself. I don't know if it was a break or whatever the case may be, him take himself away and then just tuck himself in the bathroom. I'm just obviously it's a visual, like him just going in the bathroom, sitting in the stall, just writing. You know what I mean? So again, I think again, like I said, it's great. Like I said, you know, for lack of better words, I mean, not really lack of better words, but I was like, no pun intended. Like it's great for him to do that. He was taking notes, and obviously he can share that with his kids. And so I'm sure his kids obviously are definitely taking notes from what his dad has done, his level of success, and again, like I said, understanding, especially as kids. We look up to our parents, you know, as role models, leaders. And so for I'm sure for his kids, he's just that. And he's been honestly a perfect example of that.
Yeah. And I think from that, I took away because, again, as an audience, especially they look at the professional locker room as they just sit around and, you know, play games and talk about girls or whatever. You know, the perception, I'm sure, is different, but there are real things going on because again, we do have a lot of time. We're at the facility sometimes 12 hours a day. We physically practice for two. We have meetings and film. So we're always in and out, but those 15 minutes here and there, we do have time to think and make our calls and stuff like that. But there's also real things going on during that time. So I took that away from that as well. And then another one for me was how he talked about the one coach told him you're either an energy guy or a cool jacket guy. I thought that was pretty because that's
right.
So true.
Yeah, I
was so true.
Yeah,
you know,
right? Because I didn't know where he was going with that, but then he explained himself. Then yeah, I mean, you have those guys that understand, and when you think about the two cool guy, those are the guys that know that they have the athletic ability.
I hate those guys.
they rely on their talent to kind of progress and take them further where you have a guy, as we were explaining, the example is of Caruso that knows that, okay, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. I'm not letting this slip through my hands. I'm taking advantage of every second on this court.
Yep. That's why every loose ball, everything.
Right.
Then I don't know. The third thing for me was when he said White Boy Wednesday. And like you said, you have the locker room is broken up with your experienced guy.
Right. Just the camaraderie in the locker. And it was fascinating to hear him share that because, again, as fans, they don't understand what really athletes go through. It's just not we're just showing up practice. You know, everything's, you know, lovely. You know what I mean?
Like it's personalities.
No problems. Everybody comes to practice hard. Then a game comes, you play, There's elements to this thing. There's a process, like, we're human just like everybody else, and people have to understand everybody's not wired the same. There's a different number of personalities in every sport that you have to contend with. And just as coaches have to kind of manage egos, a lot of these guys, like you said, you know, you have veterans that are on the team as well. And then you trickle down depending on the seniority. They have to manage different personality as well. But then I think you have the ones that reach different heights, and what he explained it well when he was talking about being on a Chicago Bulls team that wasn't really expected to do anything. When you talk about just getting together and all those guys, the camaraderie and understanding, okay, let's make this happen. Those are some of the teams and people that have the most success when there's not much expected of them, but they can rally themselves, really have that mental aptitude to understand, okay, we can accomplish this if we all get together. So again, it happens in every locker room. And I think that's what fans don't really understand, know about us, is that we deal with everyday issues. We take it to our workplace sometimes. And obviously, like I said, you don't want to do that, but we're human. And then, like I said, anything can happen.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Nate the Great Robinson, New York Knicks first round draft pick in 2005, had an NBA career. He's still going, ladies and gentlemen. He's got a fight coming up. Against Jake Paul on November 28th. He's on the undercard of Tyson and Roy Jones
Jr. Yep, yep.
Right? So get to check him out there. And then maybe 2021, you might see him and T.O. playing in the Big Three basketball
Big three.
As well. You never
no
know.
No doubt. Man, we appreciate Nate, man. He's 5'9", but he's standing tall. And so I appreciate that, man. Appreciate you, Nate, for coming
appreciate
on.
Appreciate it, Nate. All right, there it is. Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or even get your podcast. And coming soon, Erase Racism.
Yeah, no doubt.